This is Wendy Erickson. It's June 2nd, 2011. I'm a reference librarian at the Parchment Community Library in Parchment, Michigan. Today we're taking two oral histories, a brother and a sister, Charles Conrad and Hazel Kirkendall. Charles, what is your full name?
Charles Paul Conrad.
And when and where were you born?
I was born in Kalamazoo in 1939.
Where do you live today?
I live in Spring Arbor, Michigan.
Okay. How long have you lived there?
I taught in the Vandercook-Jackson area for, this is 48 years now I've lived in that area.
Okay. And what subjects did you teach?
I taught history, sociology, economics, and psychology.
Okay. In that public school system there?
It's called Vandercook Lake.
Vandercook Lake?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. What is your personal connection to the Parchment area?
I moved to Parchment when I was 4 years old into the kindergarten. My father worked at the KVP company.
And what's your dad's name?
My dad was Paul Charles. He worked
Paul Charles.
In the wax print division.
All right. How long?
I think probably since he got out of high school.
Did he retire there?
Yes.
He did. Do you know when he retired?
Hayes.
Okay.
Well, he was quite ill towards the end, and he had
was.
To quit his job before he passed away. So.
Okay. Okay. So your dad worked there. Was he always in wax print?
As far as I know.
As far as I know.
And then his father, Charles
Dwight.
Dwight Conrad was one of the first people that Jake Kennelberger hired when he started the mill.
Would you spell his middle name?
I don't know.
D-W-I-G-H-T.
Well, Dwight. I thought you said D. White or D. Witt.
Dwight.
Dwight Conrad. One of the first guys hired by Jake.
Right.
And do you know what position he had?
Hazel would know.
He started pouring cement for the first small unit.
Sure.
Did any job that Mr. Kindleberger asked him to do, and in the end he ran the acid, ordering everything about the acid that was purchased to make the paper.
How did he meet Jake?
They were both from Ohio.
West Carrollton?
That I
Jacob
can't tell you.
Jacob Kindleberger's from West Carrollton, Ohio.
He would have known him from there.
So he knew him from Ohio. Okay. So Jake probably called him on the phone and said, come on up.
Well, he was
I've
here.
I've got work.
He had he come here and married.
Oh, okay.
And then when Jake came, he contacted
Do
him.
You know where Charles Dwight Conrad lived?
In the first lot right next to the mill.
It used to be Preedom's store.
Yeah, we don't
okay.
know.
Now that's from a long time ago.
That's fair. That name is familiar.
Okay.
But that big tall building, just before you got to the mill, it right there.
He
right
lived
next
there.
To that building.
Okay. And then your dad joined KVP right after high school, when he graduated.
Right.
Yeah, which was real common. By the way, we're also talking with Hazel Kirkendall. I should do some little biographical information on you, Hazel. What is your full name?
Hazel Elaine Kirkendall.
All right. When and where were you born?
I was born in Kalamazoo in 1935.
Okay. And you went through the schools out here, as did your brother
mm-hmm.
Chuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ninth grade. It's as
through
far
ninth
as
grade,
came.
That's right. Parchment schools. And let's just do some more biographical information while we got it. Hazel, your husband's name?
Robert Kirkendall.
And did he work for the mill?
He worked for several years in the acid department that Grandpa ran. Of course, a lot of years difference, but
sure.
He went in the service, and then when he came back, he didn't work very long.
Okay.
He was tired of being burned with acid.
Really? Well, that's interesting. No one had any of the oral histories ever talked about that.
He has burn marks on his legs.
It was hazardous. to work there.
Acid, yeah, just hazardous. Eight holes.
And before any kind of safety measures were put into effect then.
Right, right. Do you know what years he worked there?
Probably 53 or 4.
Mid-50s maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And for how many years?
Just a couple.
Just a couple. Okay. Okay. And Chuck, are you married?
Definitely.
Okay. What's your wife's name?
Her name is Joyce.
Is she from here?
No, she's from North Tonawanda, New York.
Okay. Okay. I was just checking to see if there was another parchment connection there. Okay.
No, a lot of old girlfriends here.
Okay. We're not going to go there. Okay. So you guys were born in Kalamazoo, but then you moved into Parchment when you were young.
Mm-hmm.
What's your first house address, do you know?
Only house.
It was at that time 1809 Parchment.
All right.
And then they did some changes and it became 809.
809, okay. All right. Is that the house that you lived in until you both graduated, or did you move?
No, we lived there all our lives.
Okay. When did you leave?
When I went to college.
All right.
In 57.
Where'd you go to college?
Spring Arbor Junior College.
Sure.
And then from there to Roberts Wesleyan College, which is near Rochester, New York. And that's where I met my wife.
I see. And Hazel, when did you leave the house?
I left in August of 1957.
Remembers the month. Okay.
Because that's when I got married.
You did? Okay.
I never left home before I got married.
Okay. No wonder you can remember the month. Okay. Okay. Do you have other family members? Brothers and sisters?
We have a sister, Mary Jo Gehrig now. Sister Jean, who's now in Florida. And we had a brother, Larry, who worked years at the mill, who's passed away about 17 years ago or so.
Do you know what department he worked at the mill?
He was a millwright. He fixed almost everything that broke.
Yeah. Okay. And he worked there, what did you say, 17 years?
No,
he's been
gone for 17
years. Okay.
He worked when he came back from Vietnam.
I see.
He started working there.
Until he died.
Do you know how many years that was?
21, 31, 41, about 25, 26 years maybe.
25 years or so. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so go ahead.
And then we have a younger sister, Norma.
Okay.
Who lives in Wyoming.
The state of.
The state of.
The state, yeah, okay. Okay. All right, so now we're going to talk about Parchment. Earliest recollections of Parchment. What was it like growing up here?
You're the oldest.
Fun? Did you guys have a lot of fun?
We played a lot of ball.
What kind of ball? Baseball,
softball, football, whatever
the
season was.
Where'd you play?
Oh, in the front yard, mostly in Kindleberger Park.
Sure.
That was kind of a hangout.
Sure.
When somebody to play ball with, there was always somebody there.
There's always somebody to play ball with if you went to the park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wasn't far from where we lived, so just a couple blocks, just around the corner.
That's right. What else? Bikes? Do you guys have bikes?
Oh, everybody.
Bike riding? Yeah.
Well, our parents didn't own a car until about 53, so if you wanted to go, you went by bicycle or walked.
Sure. Yeah.
I remember walking down the hill, Parchment Hill, in the snow, with the snow clear pert near to our knees, back and forth to school.
Winters were much harder when we were younger. They were.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about downtown? What was downtown Parchment like?
Well, we had Clark's Drugstore was on the corner.
Yeah.
And there
Did
was
they
a,
have a soda fountain?
No.
They didn't?
Mm-mm.
Maybe early on.
Way early.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then next to them was a barber shop, and then Belial's.
Yeah.
And next to that Belial's, before he expanded, was the Harding's Grocery Store.
One of the first Harding's.
That's right.
I think it might have been the first
I
one.
I think it
Joe
is
Harding.
The first Harding's.
Yeah, because he lived up on the end of Park.
Sure.
And my first memory was I came from McKinley School on South Burdick Street in Kalamazoo.
Right. Yeah.
And my first recollection, I had to go to school at Parchment, and they were doing things that I hadn't learned.
Oh.
You know, they were reading, and they didn't do that.
Did you feel like you had to play catch-up?
I did.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, nowadays they would have kept me back a grade, which would have been smart, but they didn't do that back then.
Okay.
But, and the other memory was Kindleberger Park, the old ball diamond.
Yeah.
Where they had wooden bleachers up on the hills.
Yes.
And then in '54, a guy named Joe Pavanka, who worked for the mill, came to school and asked if I'd like to be the bat boy. That was one of the great thrills of my life.
What's the name of the team?
It was KVP.
For the KVP
team. It was a baseball
team,
yeah. And a guy named John Rapids, who was a football player for the New York Giants, was the manager then.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's a long time
ago. There's a memory we haven't heard.
Yeah.
What grade again were you?
I was in the ninth grade.
You were in the ninth grade. How long did you do that,
Just
Chuck?
Just the 1 year, I think.
Just for 1 year. Okay.
Yeah. And
boy, the thrill of your life, wasn't it?
It was. And then from that, I started working with younger kids. Little League was just beginning.
Okay.
And Babe Ruth League. And I started my coaching at that level when I was only a year or two older than what the kids were.
Oh, no kidding.
And that was my dream, was to be a coach.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh. Now.
And he was.
And you were? You were a coach for?
Yeah. Almost all sports.
Almost all sports? Yeah. Where?
At Vandercook Lake.
In the school system that you taught.
Yeah, in the school system.
Yep. Okay, now let's talk about school.
Okay.
What was the name of the school that you went to? Just Parchment Elementary?
Yes.
Junior High, it was called.
Well, elementary, junior high.
They're all together in one building.
Well, before they built that second building.
Yeah.
They built that maybe when you were about ready to go there. Mm-hmm. Because you came out of the kindergarten room and you were on the playground and anything, west.
Yeah.
There was nothing there. Those buildings
I see.
Weren't there.
Okay.
So.
And favorite subjects in school from both of you?
Mine was U.S. history
and
civics. A teacher named Sally Appleyard,
who
had an incredible influence on my life.
She's locally famous.
Yes.
She was wonderful. She was my history teacher.
And she was yours too?
Yeah. I went to see Mrs. Appleyard just before, a few years before she passed away.
Oh, good.
To thank her on all
good.
That she meant to me.
Yes.
Because I taught some things that she had taught me. And when I was teaching, all of a sudden I didn't remember. So she had a great influence. Mr. Roos was the principal.
Ken.
And the drill sergeant.
Yes.
And
yes.
My other teacher, I didn't like him much. But he was a great teacher, is George McDonald, who was the superintendent of schools.
He was.
And he taught English.
Okay.
And my, did you learn English.
You mean like rhetoric and composition?
Mostly, I think there were like 114 rules of grammar. And you had, on the final exam, you had to write the rules to get a grade.
Oh my word.
So there's a lot of memorization. Diagramming sentences, the right tenses.
That's right.
And I went through all the rest of my schooling from what Mr. McDonald taught me.
You bet.
You know, he was so good.
Yep. How about you, Hazel? Favorite class?
Probably Miss Coster.
And what did she teach?
Cornelia Coster.
What was her
Cornelia.
First name?
Cornelia.
How do you spell that? Cornelia.
She's a Dutch lady.
Cornelia. And what was her last name?
Coster.
Coster. And what did she teach?
Fifth grade.
Yeah. Me
okay,
too.
Fifth
and
grade.
She had a stamp collection and created interest almost everybody in our class collecting stamps.
Really? So did you?
Yes.
Do you still have them?
I gave them to somebody that was collecting.
Okay. Okay. That was your favorite person, obviously.
She was
out.
A nice lady. She talked a little bit broken Dutch.
Dutch. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And Mrs. Appleyard, I don't think anybody ever had her that didn't like her.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. I have heard that from other people.
She was great.
I've interviewed. Sure. So, what did they, in Parchment, did they do parades for the major holidays? Not too much.
No.
No.
But the community house,
yeah.
There were parties there, weren't there?
Yeah.
first dance I ever went to was at the Community House gym.
They had dances in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how old were you?
Probably.
Well,
seventh, eighth, ninth.
Well, the school had no gym.
Sure.
And so all events, sporting events, dances were at, in the Community House in the gymnasium in the back of it.
Basketball games.
Yes.
Everything was done in the community.
All the concerts.
Yeah.
You know, somebody we might mention that had a great influence is Miss Brown, who was a music teacher.
What do you know?
Leah Brown.
Leah.
In fact, she played at my sister's wedding.
Oh.
Yeah, but she put on incredible programs for all age levels in the Community House that was packed out whenever they had those music concerts.
Really?
And the one I remember, because I still sing the song she taught us.
Oh.
And she was the director of the band.
Okay.
And so, you know.
Yeah.
Every time I break into an old song, Miss Brown comes to my mind.
You bet. You bet. So, and didn't they used to have like Halloween parties there?
They had everything.
Everything
there.
Was done there.
Because
there
we had no auditorium.
There was a clinic in there too, I think.
Maybe down in the basement.
There was a clinic.
Maybe.
Did you guys ever use that clinic?
No.
Mm-hmm. For health reasons? No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
There was in the basement.
Let's talk. Mm. Let's go back and talk about your house, the house you lived in.
Okay.
Not to be condescending or anything, but plumbing, running water,
mm-hmm.
how many levels?
It was basically a 1.5-story house.
Yes.
We only had cold water.
Oh.
And there was an outhouse out the back, although we did have a toilet inside.
Okay.
And a bathtub.
And a bathtub. But we took our baths in a old steel galvanized tub, wash tub, that Mom would fill with water. And then, starting with the youngest, they would take, and after three kids, she'd dump the water. And then the next three. Can you imagine? Hazel got to be the third one in after all the dirt was in there. But those.
Sure.
And then we finally got hot water, in, which was, by the time Norma came around, she lived in the shower, I think, when
I
she
see.
Was young. But upstairs, there were two rooms for the four girls, and my brother and I slept in the hallway.
Okay.
It was a decent size, big enough for a couple beds.
Sure, sure. Great. Did you have, what kind of heat did you have?
Coal.
Coal.
In the beginning, we
all
had to,
right.
the chute, you know, they'd pour coal
do
down
know.
The chute.
I do know.
And
yeah.
There
yeah.
was always, you couldn't put any clothes in the basement to dry in the winter because they would add the soot from
that's
the coal.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
How about a telephone? When did you get a telephone?
We had one when we moved in.
Okay.
6348. There were only four digits back then.
Uh-huh.
And it was a four-party line.
Four-party line.
Everybody had a ring.
Yeah.
And we won't mention a name, but the lady across the road loved to listen in on the kids' conversations.
No. Really?
We talked about her today. When we drove by her
you
house.
You always knew when she was on? You could
yeah.
tell.
Quite often. Sometimes we didn't like her real well.
Yeah.
So sometimes, as kids, we'd say stuff just so we could
and
hear
and you could
stuff.
Hear her gasp.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
I don't know if that's what you're looking for,
of
but
course.
That's what
of
you
course.
Got.
Of course. So, do you have a garden in the back of the house?
Big garden.
A huge garden. I'm not sure we could have made it without the garden.
Yeah.
Because
about
a half acre.
Half acre.
And, you know, Dad had put a kid in each row to take care of it.
Oh, boy.
And then behind the garage, which was a little apartment, actually, for an older lady that lived there.
I see.
We dug a hole in the gravel pit, and then we made a cellar in there, and we put all the vegetables in there. And then in the winter, you go out and open and climb down in and bring the vegetables up.
What did they call it? The root cellar? What did they call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, a root
cellar.
That's right. And then the house had a Michigan cellar,
yes.
which was very small.
No,
and we dug that out and rebuilt all the way around eventually.
Let me just backtrack here a minute. You mentioned something about on your property, there was an older woman in an apartment in another building?
It was a garage.
Made into
a garage.
A bedroom, a living room, and a small kitchen.
Do you remember
who
then
she was?
Yeah.
Mrs. Mahoney. That's all we know.
A single woman living there?
Yeah.
Do you know if she worked or was she not working then?
No, she was way older.
She was elderly then.
Yeah.
Okay. Mrs. Mahoney.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anyway, we were talking about
the house.
The house and the garden.
Yeah.
So these were what? Tomatoes, carrots, beans, onions, potatoes, corn. Stuff like that?
Everything.
Rutabaggy.
Rutabagas.
Asparagus.
Asparagus. Not a fan of rutabagas?
No.
Or parsnips.
Or parsnips. Oh.
No, we had everything.
We grew everything.
Sure. You had to.
And everything was canned.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I still do that today.
I was just going to say, who can? You can?
I do.
You bet. You bet.
I get for Christmas tomatoes every year for Christmas present.
Lucky man.
Yeah, it is.
Just as a side note, I'm having a canning program here June 8th.
Oh, right.
I'm taking it. My mother taught me to cook and bake, but she didn't teach me how to can.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can't wait, actually. did you guys play sports in school?
They didn't have girls' sports.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's right.
I played football, basketball, and baseball.
You did.
And that's all they had. Well, I think they had track, too.
Okay, football, basketball, and baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Did you letter? Did they do letter then?
Oh,
did you?
Yeah.
You got letters in all of them?
Yep.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, I mean, you were, you know, everybody was aware of the mill, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The sirens or whistles when it was lunchtime.
Right.
All that kind of stuff.
Right.
Some people talked about the soot from the mill kind of drifting a little bit over.
We were away from that up the hill, though.
You didn't get much of that.
I was in 1945 when the war was over.
Yes.
That mill, the whistle went off. And it kept on going along with church bells in Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
And I remember my parents out in the middle of the road with all the neighbors. Everybody was hugging everybody because the war was
over. Even that lady across the street.
Yeah. But I remember that vividly because I'd never seen my mom and dad ever hug anybody. They were just on belief that the war was finally over.
Now this was
World War II.
Yeah, and this was Japan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not VE Day, not Victory
in
May.
There was not nearly as much as VJ Day.
Sure. Wow. That's a great memory.
Yeah.
Nobody's talked about that here.
Yeah.
Outside in the streets.
Everybody.
The church bells are going. The whistle's going from the mill.
The mill.
Yeah.
Oh. That's great. Okay.
It was. It was an exciting time.
You bet. Very.
And you know, it meant more against Japanese because they had attacked Pearl Harbor.
That's right.
So that made it personal.
You bet.
And I was only 5 years old, but it's vivid.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. There's a question here about world events that had an impact on you, and we were just talking about the war. Do you remember the war, or people talking about the war, or just the celebration when it was over?
I remember we had some people named Zancher lived next door to us. Wes, and there was another boy, Gerard. And I remember we were playing darts, and they had Hirohito's picture, and they drew circles around his eyes, his nose, and his mouth, and you threw darts. Wherever you hit him, you got points.
Really?
Now, does that make the war personal?
Yeah, it does.
Because, you know, even though he was the emperor, didn't have a lot to do with the actual war. But that's who Americans hated because of
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
You bet.
And we lost, a cousin lost her husband in Pearl Harbor.
I see.
And so that, to me, I was enough older.
Yes,
that
you were.
That kind of made quite an impression.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You, Hazel, mentioned before we even turned the projector on, speaking of events that have an impact, that there was a student in high school. Was he
in the ninth grade? I wasn't a ninth grader. But,
okay. What was his name?
Bob Clark.
Okay.
He lived on Oak Grove.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right down by
at the bottom of the hill.
Right, almost next to Weikstra's store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and what happened to
him? And he got leukemia and didn't make it through the school year. And they had the service in the community house, and the students, the junior high students, walked from the school to the community house for the service and then went back. And I can still vividly. In fact, I probably have some articles and pictures of him.
How old were you then? Were you younger? Or
I was probably...
A couple years younger.
At least a year younger.
Okay.
And I remember when he passed, because we had to walk by his house to go to school.
Yeah.
And it was a very sad time. And then they named an award after, called the Bob Clark Award for academics, athletics, and citizenship. And that was the highest award that you could get at Parchment in the junior high
Is
at that time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a kid named Tom Cook won it from the class I was in.
I see.
That just came back.
Yeah, did it?
Yeah.
As we're talking. Yeah, these memories, they get jogged.
Dick Bennett and...
Oh, go ahead.
Frank Passage got the award the first year.
Okay.
We're in his class.
I see. And because Bob was what? In sports?
Yeah, he was a great athlete.
A great student.
Just nice to everybody.
And he was nice to everybody. Oh. Yeah, in those days, leukemia, there was no treatment for leukemia, was there? Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember his parents' names?
Mm-mm.
Can't remember. Okay. I just wonder. All right.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Let's talk about some, now you were a teacher, Chuck.
Yeah.
You were a teacher. Hazel, did you work outside of the home?
Not a lot. We have five children.
You
and
have five.
Have to go to work, so.
You bet. That's one thing we did not discuss. We should put that in here. You had five children. Mm-hmm. How many grandchildren have you got?
I have 13 grandchildren and 8 great-greats.
Oh, mercy. You live in Portage.
Mm-hmm.
Are your children around here?
I have a son right at Kitty Corner across the street.
All right.
My oldest son.
Great.
One that lives in Portage on Angling. I have a son in Vicksburg, a daughter in Georgia.
Okay.
And
Colorado.
A younger son in Colorado.
How about you, Chuck? You got kids and grandkids?
I have 2 sons.
Okay.
One's in Ypsilanti, the other is a school teacher in the community we live in.
Really?
Math teacher. And we have no grandchildren because we're not old enough to have grandchildren. At least I tell everybody that.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
When I get old,
then you can have grandkids.
I can have grandkids.
There you go. Okay, let's get a little. Let's get a little philosophical here about Parchment. I know you guys walked in the front door here at 2 o'clock, and it's 3:10, and you brought some pictures with you, and Chuck, you've got some more that you're going to bring to the reunion, and lots of memories of Parchment. You walked in the door, and you were talking and pointing as you walked in the library door, which was great to see. First of all, how's Parchment different from when you were a kid, from when you were kids? And you saw the mill was gone across the street here, this part, demolished
kind of
this year.
Sad.
It's sad for you?
Okay. Yeah, very much.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a company town.
Yeah. A mill town.
A mill town in the old sense of the word.
Yeah.
Where Jake Kindleberger ran it.
Yeah.
And
the town grew up around the mill.
Had a number of houses that the mill owned, and people that came to work for him stayed there.
Right.
Kind of very close.
Yeah.
Anybody that's our age would say their little towns were close.
Yes.
Because you knew everybody, and if you got in trouble, everybody knew.
Sure. It's hard to keep secrets in a small town, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We were far enough from Kalamazoo that influence, and I think now with everybody owning cars and now all the communications things, that the world is so much smaller than it was then.
Yeah, in a way it did. So, you know, it's not as bustling. The town is not as bustling as it used to be when the mill was up. The mill closed in 2000.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's big plans for a business and residential development across the street. I don't know if you're aware of River Reach.
Mm-hmm.
All the big storyboards are up at City Hall. That's very, and they're just hoping to get that off the ground in the next year or two.
And that'll change things.
And that will change town a lot.
And to your schools.
And they're talking, they're taking a survey on should they widen the road to 3 lanes. The 4 lanes they figured out was too much. They didn't need that. But should they put in a center lane, turn lane, on Riverview, and they're doing a survey in town. It's online, actually, at the city's website. About that, asking for people's, you know, impressions about that. So, you know, some of the businesses downtown have left. You know, Belle Isles, of course.
Yeah. And across the street from Belle Isles is Vans, Five and Dime.
Okay, the dime store.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then there was an electronic store next to them.
Oh.
There was a First National Bank on down on that same side.
Yeah, there was. Yes.
And then Weikstra's was the dry goods store.
Oh, on the other side of the
over
street.
On Oak Grove
like,
and
when you
Riverview.
Say dry goods, you mean like a department store?
Yeah, we bought shoes there. And
Yeah.
Shoes and clothing.
Okay. From what I hear from people, the town has sort of changed a lot just because the mill closed and it's not as bustling and stuff, but there's still strong identity here as a mill town. It just... KVP still has a lot of influence over the flavor of the town.
Well, I'll tell you what it impressed me. Hazel called me a week or so ago, told me your website.
Yeah.
And
Hazel, how did you hear about this, if I may just interrupt a minute?
Well, he said call and find out where we can buy the book.
Oh, you heard about the book?
Yeah.
Somewhere. Okay. Right. And that would be, if I may plug Joe Chatterton's book, The History of the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company. And the City of Parchment. He wrote that and published it last year and has been selling copies of it.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I imagine we'll buy 5 copies from it.
Great. So you heard about it.
Yeah. And so I got online and I'm so impressed with the volunteer people that are helping out with like this reunion.
Yeah.
That whole week that you're having.
Oh, yeah. For a small town to have the Kindleberger Arts Commission put on this, it's a humongous celebration for 6 days. But they fundraise that by doing a Parchment Stars dance competition every March. We're in our 4th year from that. What a hoot that is.
Is that right?
Large fun. They pack the high school gymnasium and they compete, just like the TV, you know, the dancing stars and stuff. Lots of fun, but they raise a lot of money so that they can do
festival. That's
I know,
wonderful.
It's really great in this
town. Taxpayers don't pay the bill.
Nope. They raise the money. Let me ask you, I got a couple more philosophical questions. What would you like people to remember most about Parchment?
For me, it was a great place to grow up. It was marvelous. Of course, I loved sports. The only reason I went to school was to play sports. High school, college, that's all I wanted to do. And the flavor of the Ball Diamonds.
Yeah.
And the community house.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me everybody encouraged everybody.
I see.
You know,
from
Cub Scouts, they had a big Boy Scouts organization then.
Sure.
And
that's
what I remember most about Parchment, I think.
How about you?
I don't have a bad memory.
You don't?
No, other than my dad spanking me frequently, but other than that.
Hazel, how about you? What would you like people to remember about Parchment?
I think against the world today, it was safe. There was never any question if we skipped down the road 6 blocks that we would not come back.
I see.
Never even thought about that.
Yep.
It was a safe place.
Yeah. Okay.
And houses were open. Mom needed sugar. You go next door and get the sugar.
That's right.
You know, I mean.
Lock the door. Lock the doors.
Never locked our doors.
That's right.
Never.
Well,
everybody got in houses with a skeleton key. You remember those?
I absolutely
and
do.
The key fit everybody's house.
I didn't know that.
It's crazy.
That. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I mean, way back in the early 40s.
Is that right?
They had maybe two or three different skeleton keys. So you could just go and open doors
for
if you wanted.
Heaven's
of course,
sakes.
No one did. But
no, nobody locked the doors. You didn't worry about robbery and that kind of thing.
People breaking in. That's right. That's right.
And who's a cop? Herrick?
Absolutely, Ralph Herrick.
Yeah, well, his son was a year behind me in school.
Yes.
Ralph.
Sure.
And then he became the chief of police, I think, for a while.
And Ralph and Billy are still here.
Are they really?
And Ralph and Billy are very active in the Kindleberger Festival. And we have a huge holiday chocolate and wassailing celebration here the first Wednesday in December. Mm-hmm. Up and down the street. There's horse-drawn carriages taking you up and down the street. There's a live nativity scene, Santa, games, food, and all the businesses open up. The Garden Club here does, they make hot chocolate from scratch and bake a gazillion Christmas cookies. Mm-hmm. We get 600, 650 people through the library that night.
Well, you know, you mentioned the flower garden.
Yeah.
But Jake, the flower gardens over this side of the baseball diamond towards the library now.
Yes.
He would hire ball players out of Western Michigan to take care of those beds in the summer to give them a job because they'd come play ball for him.
Oh, that's how he recruited, didn't he?
Right, and they took care of the ball diamonds and
ball
you know, watered everything.
Sure.
So it was.
I have not heard that in any of these interviews.
I hadn't thought about it, but all of a sudden, there it is.
That's interesting. Okay. Hired the Western Michigan University baseball team.
Well, some of them, yeah.
Some of them. Mm-hmm. Baseball kids to tend the gardens. Oh, my word. Okay.
But you know, they needed a job in the summer, and he needed ball players, and so.
Yeah, the stories I've heard from people that I've interviewed said during the Depression.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody lost their jobs.
No.
He would find work. He would find
I was born in the tail end of the Depression. Of course, the mill started before that.
Yes, it did. Sure. Yep.
Well, they called him Uncle Jake.
That's right.
You know,
because
he took care of the people.
That's right.
But he ruled the roost.
Yeah, he did. Oh, I have heard stories on some of these interviews about you need to cut your grass and various things.
You need to go
like
to church.
That. And I've heard that, too. I've heard that, too. Yeah, he very, very played very close to the vest here. This was his town for a long time.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, here's my last question. No, before I ask you my last question, which is pretty philosophical, too, what did I miss? What did we miss here that you wanted to talk about? Did you have any really, really tight pals here? What were your friends' names when you were kids?
My best friend was Dick Burnham.
Okay.
Because I met him in the kindergarten, and we were reading Dick and Jane.
Sure.
And I didn't know how to read. And the teacher says, well, who's that? I said, Dick, that's what that word means.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I see.
And Dick Burnham was a good friend.
Yep.
Dave Tooker. Tom Cook. A guy named Ken Hartman, who I think has passed away now.
Okay. Okay.
And then a lot of girls that lived on Orient. Well, Marsha Rutz's daughter.
All right.
Nancy Sessions, Janet Henderson. Since we left ninth grade, the only one I've seen is Dick.
Okay.
My question would be, you know, it would be nice if when you have this reunion, if you could find a place to keep some data
of
when they went to school here.
Well, here's the deal. We started to have that conversation before I turned the recorder on, and we're going to talk about that when I turn the recorder on.
Okay.
Okay?
But, you know, to me,
we are. Sure.
I would like to see some of these kids. It's 55 years now.
Well, and you come to the reunion, and you very well may.
I'm sure.
Hazel, how about you, friends when you were growing up?
Oh, there were several. Phyllis Essice lived across the street, and we probably did as much together.
Yes.
as anybody.
Sure.
You know, with anybody.
Okay.
But when you come from a big family, you have your family are your best
friends. Oh, I know. Yep. Play with your brothers and sisters and stuff. Yep.
And we existed then. I mean, no one, or maybe very, very small group, were what we would consider wealthy. Everybody else just made it.
Sure.
You know, and sure, everybody was in the same boat.
But they had big families,
that's
and
right.
It took a lot.
Yep. We had a lot in common.
Yeah.
I think. With a small town.
And we're still good friends.
Sure. Yeah. You're pointing to Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
We are. We are.
And his wife is a good friend of mine.
Oh, great.
More like a sister.
Yes. Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay, let's just do our last question here. We're wrapping up here. Okay. What do you consider a successful life? That's the first part. And how has parchment affected that? Just jump in whenever.
I got to thank you, Doc.
I can't.
Do you think coming from a small town?
Oh, you knew everybody.
You knew everybody, but you have, you know, sometimes, and I'm just interjecting a little bit here because I came from a small town up north. There's kind of a different value system, or the stuff that is important to you might be different if you grew up in a gigantic town. I don't know.
You knew everybody.
You knew everybody. You think your friends
might
be tighter.
And you really didn't live that far apart, you know?
Yeah.
Parchment wasn't a real big area when we were growing up.
Right.
No apartment buildings.
Yeah. Right.
A couple duplexes. Other than that.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
It was different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think when we were young, growing up, that the morality of the community is what Jake expected it to be. People going to church.
That's true.
And there, I think there was moral values that I learned. I was in trouble a lot.
Were you?
I was.
Hi, what were you doing?
Having fun. You know, breaking street lights and odds and ends.
Oh, I see.
And
were you pretty rambunctious as a kid? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's why
I became a teacher.
Good for you.
I got in trouble.
Yeah.
This is Mr. Roos.
Yeah.
Found out. He picked me up and put me against the wall. And he said, if I ever hear you doing this again,
right,
you'll wish you hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did that again.
Sure.
And so.
Because he respected him.
Yeah.
Right.
To me,
well,
you have
community discipline, the community disciplining children
was an okay thing.
Well,
then.
Yeah, that
parents
was more
would go to the other parents.
It was acceptable then.
Yeah.
It's not so acceptable now.
But you ask about the philosophy of, I think, helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents, that garden, my dad, I used to get so upset. He would give everything to the neighbors, and they'd offer to pay him a dollar.
Friends.
And we had nothing, but he's his
really?
Duty, like, to take care of other people. And I've grown up taking care of other people as a teacher and a coach.
Yep.
And I learned that in parchment. And I think I've lived an overall extremely happy life.
Yes.
Yeah, I've had a lot of great time. I got a great wife.
Yes.
But I think I learned that all. Looking back, you didn't, when you're going through it, you know, when you're a teenager, you're unhappy and so forth and so on. But when you get an opportunity like we're doing here to look back, we're very fortunate that we were raised in parchment.
You feel that way, Hazel?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yeah. Did you guys ever want to go back to Kalamazoo?
Never.
Mm-hmm. Say, oh, wait, we want to go back. It's bigger there. There's more stuff to do
there. Grandma lived there, so we went to the same neighborhood.
I see.
So some of those friends,
sure,
for me,
yeah,
stayed.
Sure. I see. You kept those friends.
Yeah. And probably closer friends from in Kalamazoo than here.
Okay.
Because we were, other than Phyllis and mm-hmm. several other mm-hmm. that I've run into over the years, some of them.
Yeah, yeah. I see. Well, this has been very enjoyable. I hope you had as much fun as I did.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah. You know, everybody's got a different piece of this puzzle. Like
sure.
I mentioned during the interview, some of the things that you have both discussed were never brought up by anybody else. Mm. So we're glad to have another piece of the
puzzle,
as it were.
We're looking forward to the reunion.
Yeah, the reunion. Good. I'll be very glad to have you.
We don't walk very well anymore, but maybe we can make it from to here to there.
To the party.
It might take half a day, but we'll make it.
We'll get you there. Again, thanks very much.
You're welcome.